Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Radio serving all of Sinla at 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Go ahead on. How many know that He will fix it? Matter of fact, here's a greater shout. How many know He's already fixed it? Come on, how many know He's already fixed? Lord, now we thank You. We lift You on high. Lord, I just want to thank You for these men of God who have ministered to our heart to let us know no matter what we're going through, You can handle it. And we just want to say thank You, Lord. Now, as I stand to proclaim Your word, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, knowing that we'll leave here better because we've heard from You. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Oh, Lord. If y'all don't mind this morning shouting like that, I just want to get straight in the word. Forget protocol. Let's just go straight to the word of God. How many ready to just go straight to the word of God? The Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. I yield my hand to Brother Seth. He said, no, Rev, go ahead on. Go on, preach. It's preaching time now. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I will give honor to the triune Godhead. But now let's go to the word. Amen. Luke, chapter 19, verses 37 and 38. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 37 and 38. And when he was come nigh, even now at a descent of the Mount of Olives, of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." I want to talk about the shouting crowd. And it's ironic, you just got through shouting. The shouting crowd. On this, thank you, Urshas. On this Palm Sunday, many of us focus on the donkey, and we should. We focus on the palm leaves, and we should, but very seldom we talk about the crowd. The crowd that Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, that crowd that was shouting. The Lord, the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus, marks by many contrasts. In the beginning of his ministry, he operated in obscurity. But however, as the news of his power and the claims of him being the Messiah would spread, people began to flock around him. As people began to tell about the miracles, even the ones that he told not to say nothing, said it anyway. And people hearing about Jesus, people begin to flock to him. And what's happening in our churches, we hearing about everybody but Jesus. And he did say, if I be lifted up, that I'll draw all men. Many were drawn to Jesus by the excitement of the miracles he performed and the uniqueness of his preaching. Where the Pharisees and the scribes would teach and preach by the Mosaic law, Jesus comes along and says, I know you've sinned, but if you trust me, I'll forgive you of your sins. The churches begin to be empty, and to meet Jesus in desert places, to hear him preach sermons that would go on for days because they are hearing a word from God. And see, when you come to church, you've got to come with a hunger. You just don't go to a restaurant because the restaurant is there. You go because there is a physical need that need to be met. And when you come to the house of God, you should come with a spiritual hunger. You should come with a hunger that intensifies, and intensity of your hunger is so great that you can't wait to hear a word from God. Now, gravy is good, but if you ordered a steak and they only brought you the gravy to it, you're going to have a problem, because it wasn't just the gravy you wanted. You wanted the meat also. And so we've got to understand, when we come in the presence of Jesus, there should be a shouting crowd. Let me say it again. There should be a shouting crowd, because what you're going to discover in the text today, no preacher had to beg them to say anything. Nobody had to beg and plead them to shout. When they saw Jesus, Jesus was enough for them to shout. And I wonder, how much more does Jesus have to do for you to get you to do what you're supposed to come here to do? He's been waking you up every morning. He's been taking care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. He's been healing your body. He's been touching your finances. You got food waiting on you at the house that you started cooking on last night. And God is saying, how much more do I have to do to get you to say amen? You know, when it comes to Roger, I can't speak for you, but when it comes to me, just the idea he saved the old low-down, good-for-nothing, wretched man as I am, he had forgiveness of my soul. That's enough for me to say, Lord, thank you. And see, you can't praise God with your eyes on somebody else's problem. You got to think about the problems that he solved for you in your life. And when you think about worship, and when you think about shouting, it becomes personal. Let me say it again. It becomes personal. That means that my shout is not depending on if you are shouting or not. My shout is depending on how good God has been to me. And if all of us can think of that individually, then we'll shout collectively. Jesus now was reaching the end of his ministry. He was making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now, here's a strange paradox in the text, because on many occasions, you remember that Jesus didn't even want people to know who he really was. Even his own mother, at the first miracle at the wedding of Cana, when she said, come on, son, we're running out of wine, and if you can do something, it'll prove to them who you are. And he said unto his mother, woman, my hour has not come yet. And then there were times when he would heal and he would tell them, don't say nothing, just go home for your blessings. But here it is. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he's not coming on a Clydesdale. He's not coming on a stallion. He is riding on a donkey. Why? Because Jesus had to fulfill scripture. Because in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, it was already prophesied thousands of years before his birth that the Lord, the King of Kings, would come riding upon a donkey. And Jesus said, to fulfill scripture, I have to come upon a donkey. But little did you know, if you study biblical history, kings really didn't ride on stallions. True kings came in on donkeys. It was a sign of their humility. Jesus was saying that I am the Lord of Lords. I am the King of Kings, and I don't need a stallion to validate my title. I don't need a Clydesdale to validate my title. I can come in on a donkey and still be the Savior of the world. Oh, y'all missed it. Quit waiting on people to validate you. Quit waiting on situations to validate you. If you are a child of God, then be a child of God. He came in riding on this little donkey. Now watch. When he comes in through the crowd, they couldn't see the donkey, but they can only see Jesus. The donkey was so small that you can only see Jesus coming in. Y'all missed it. See, he didn't get on a Clydesdale or a stallion because they're too big. They would have saw Jesus and the stallion. But they didn't pay attention to the donkey. They only focused on Jesus. And the thing is, when it comes to true worship, Your focus shouldn't be on nothing else but Jesus himself. Now watch. Watch the crowd now. Watch. Watch. And look at verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments, the little donkey, they cast their garments upon the coat that they set Jesus thereon. Watch this. They said, now, Jesus, I want to make this ride comfortable. And to make the ride comfortable, I've got to pull off something that belongs to me and give it to you. Let me say it again. People may not see what I gave, but you will know what I gave. Quit trying to give what you give to God to be seen by somebody else. Don't come help me, then come to the church and tell everybody what you did for me. Don't put a blessing in my hand and say I was the one that got, because if you have that kind of mentality, you need to keep your money in your pocket. Because if you're going to bless somebody with whatever you bless them with, you're doing it for the love of God. They took off their garments. They put it on the donkey. And Jesus sat upon the donkey. And he begins to enter into Jerusalem. Now the word, if you look at it carefully in verse 39, they were on the Mount of Olives. Okay? Some 2,700 feet, the town of Jerusalem can look up and see the Mount of Olives. So in essence, they saw Jesus coming before he made it to town. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. He got on the donkey at the Mount of Olives, some 27 feet high. The town of Jerusalem, they were watching Jesus come in their direction. And they were already putting the palm leaves down. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. Because they knew Jesus was coming in their direction. Let me say it again. They saw him coming from an elevated position, coming in their direction. So they said, let's make preparation for his coming. In other words, you have already known from an elevated position that Jesus has already ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there making intercessions for you and me. But the same way he left, he's coming back. And I should know he's coming back from an elevated position, so I need to make preparations for his coming. In other words, I need to get my right heart with God, my heart right with God before his coming. I need to make sure that my heart is right with my fellow man before his coming. I need to make sure that when I come to Mount Zion, I come to Mount Zion for the right reason before his coming, because he's coming for you and me. Watch, when he comes, when he makes it to town, woo, look at verse 36. They not only put palm leaves, a lot of you think it just was palm leaves. Verse 36 said they began to take their clothes. I don't care how much it costs, I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. I don't care how sentimental it is to me, I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Now, you might have had some people on the outside of the crowd and said, look at them fools. Giving all this to a man on a donkey. But they knew that he wasn't just a man on a donkey. The Creator was riding on his creation. Let me say it again. The Creator was riding on his creation. And let me pause here right quick and tell you something about this little donkey. Zechariah 9 and 9 prophesied that Jesus would ride on the donkey. Jesus tells his disciples to go in town, and you're going to find a colt there and a donkey. And when you find them, you're going to find them tied up. Somebody's going to ask y'all where you're going, what you're doing with that. You just tell them that the Lord has need of them. Now, here's your praise cue, Mount Zion. Jesus says that I must ride in on a donkey to fulfill prophecy in Zechariah 9 and 9. Now, the donkey is going to be tied up, but he's only tied up for me to hold him there until I get ready to use him. The donkey may not understand why he's tied up like this, but he's tied up that the Lord will hold him in a particular place, that when he has need of him, he will be right where he needs him. You missing it. Somebody here this morning, you tied up. You tied up in situations and it feels like you're not moving forward nor backward. And you're praying to the Lord, Lord, get me out of this thing. But God is just holding you there. Because when the day comes when he calls your name, can't nobody take your blessing when God's got your blessing in his hand. Watch this. Here we go. He gets on the donkey. They laid their clothes down. They laid the palm leaves down. And when Jesus comes in the town, when he comes in verse 37, in his descent from the Mount of Olives, the multitude and the disciples began to rejoice. In other words, Jesus hadn't made it there yet. But just the idea he's coming in that direction was enough for me to shout. That's one thing about a shouting crowd. Write this down. God, I don't have to have everything for the shout. Oh, let me say it again. You don't have to have everything to shout. Watch this. Just the idea that Jesus is in the vicinity is enough for me to praise God. Y'all missing it. Watch. They're there waiting on him to show up. They see him coming, and that's enough for them to shout. See, a lot of us don't shout until we can physically touch the blessings the Lord have for us. But how do you truly define blessings? Is blessings everything that you can put your hand on? Satan can bless you with a good job. Satan can bless you with an automobile. Satan can bless you with money. Why are you looking at me like he's the prince of this world? Remember, he offered it all to Jesus. But when you truly look at blessings, these are the things that is not seen by the natural eye. Watch this. And when I get on your street, you ought to be like this people. You ought to shout. Joy, peace, comfort, consolation. Mother when mother is gone. Father when father is gone. In the wee hours of the night, a small still voice. Lily of the valley, bright and morning star. Bridge over troubled water. Money when money is gone. Friend when I can't find a friend nowhere. Am I on your street yet? Am I on your street? When people don't understand me, he still put his arms around me. And I'm not going to get on everybody's street. When I sin, he forgives me. When I mess up, he brings me back into the fold. When I lie, the truth changes my heart. Is there anybody here can testify and say, can't nobody? Can't nobody? Come on, can't nobody? The shouting crowd, they don't have to have it to shout. Watch. He was descending from the Mount of Olives. The multitude and the disciples began to rejoice and praise God do your Bible say a quiet voice? With a loud voice. And what did they cry for? All of the mighty works that they had seen. Now you and I have seen Jesus do some mighty works in our lives. Now watch this. Watch this. Here we go. Now, everybody wasn't shouting because of the mighty works Jesus had done in their life. Some of them were shouting for the mighty works he did in somebody else's life. There were some people at the grave of Lazarus when he got up. There were some people around the woman with the issue of blood who was healed. There were some people around the blind man who he gave sight to. There were people around when he told a man to pick up his bed and walk. There were people around who he fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So some people was in the crowd not shouting for anything that they had received, but they were shouting because their brother had been blessed. They are shouting because their brother had been healed. They are shouting because their brother had been raised from the dead. And sometimes you need to shout, not for you, but you need to shout for your brother. If y'all don't mind, can everybody just stand up for 5 seconds? Just stand up. I know you may be hurting, but stand up. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm getting ready to shout, but this shout is not for me. This shout is for you. This shout is for you. This hallelujah is for you. This thank you, Jesus, is for you. This praise God is for you. Ain't he all right? I'm almost through, y'all. They were shouting in the crowd. They were shouting in the crowd. And everybody wasn't shouting to who that was in the receiving gifts, but they were shouting for people who's been blessed. And look what their words were. They praised God with a loud voice, all the mighty works. Then they said, saying, blessed be the king that cometh. In the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They didn't care who saw them. Sisters, they didn't care if their wig fell off. They didn't care if their mascara run. Men, they didn't care if they had that big old sweat spot underneath the arm, they were there to praise God. In other words, they wasn't too cute to praise God. And I think some of you don't praise God because you spend too much time in the mirror before you get here. You ain't come here to get a man. You come here to praise a man. And his name is Jesus. Quit spending so much time in the mirror and just come to the Lord. I know you wasn't going to shout too hard on that. They said, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we lift you up. Peace in heaven. Glory to you in the highest. One of the synoptic gospels, when they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, thou son of David. Hosanna. Really means to save, thou son of David. They were talking about his messianic title. When they say son of David, they was calling him the Savior. In other words, when they was praising God, they pretty much said, Savior, save. Or save us, Savior. And you can't ask Jesus to save you if you think you're already free. See, to admit that I need a Savior is to admit that you're in a world of sin. And so this shouting crowd began to shout. They began to scream praises unto his name. But Mount Zion and the rest of the world, I have to ask you to forgive me. For many years, I preached the wrong thing. For many years,